Morning, church family. It's good to see everyone here this morning. I don't believe the man next to me needs much introduction, but for those who may not know him, this is Richard Briggs. He's our ministry leader for our Neighborhood Needs Ministry. And we've been talking about this great ministry the past several weeks because we're in the middle of our food fundraiser. And so we're going to tell you a little bit more about Neighborhood Needs this morning. And actually, Rich has some good news to share with the church family. So Rich, take it away.
Good morning. We've been blessed, Neighborhood Needs has. We have received a series of significant anonymous contributions that allows us to put a second building behind the Neighborhood Needs building so that we can expand the food ministry. We're currently operating out of a room that's about 800 square feet. It's filled with freezers, coolers, food racks, everything except people. And by the time you put 625 people a month through that same room with volunteers, everybody tells me it's crowded. Okay? Becky can attest to it this last Saturday. I think you should ask her because it got especially crowded. We served 225 families, gave out 209 turkeys. There were a lot of people that went through that building. It was crowded. So basically, the new building is not only relieving the crowding, but it also allows us to transition to what they call client choice, which means that the people will be able to choose what they want, rather than us forcing, if you will, a bag of groceries on them. And it, according to the food bank and to all the studies, it basically raises their self-esteem, their self-respect, because they feel better about only taking what they need and not what we think they need.
Very good. So if you know Rich, he's really like amazingly joyful inside right now. He really is. I'm not just making light of that.
That's true. Inside.
So outside of this new building providing open space and more room and the client choice, that's all important. Why else are you passionate about this up-and-coming new building?
Well, I think the thing you need to hear that really got me started is that this truly is a God thing, because this building started because of one person making a comment about it being crowded, and a week later somebody walked up and said, "I understand you need something. What do you need to kind of, you know, make Neighborhood Needs better?" And I said, "Well, you know, we could use more space." And the next week, another person walks up, unrelated to the first person, saying, "How can I help?" And pretty soon, there are people there with funds saying, "We think you need to add on or do something to get make some more space." And within a month, we were fully funded. And we are now, this next Tuesday, going for a building permit. We already have an engineered design and the slab and the electrical design and all that it takes. And we hope we can get through on Tuesday to get the permit.
Amen. Well, praise God for all of those blessings and how all these things have kind of just come together. Yeah, praise God.
One more, thank you.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I want to make sure all of the anonymous donors, they know who they are. Thank you for that. Thank you for all the people and the guys and the gals that volunteer. They asked me maybe a month ago, how many volunteers do we have in a month? I will tell you, there's at least, among all the different things we do, at least 150 different volunteers that participate in Neighborhood Needs. And if you know Garrett Seals, tell him thank you, because he's helping guide me through this building thing. So
very good. Very good. So lastly, each week we've ended with this because we believe it's important. What are What are some of the things we can be praying about as a church as God continues to bless this ministry?
I think the biggest thing that will come from this is a different opportunity to meet the people as they go through neighborhood needs. I think we already have some of them that we would call friends, people that we know. I read the write-up that David Giddings did on the front of the bulletin that talks about friendships that have developed. The same thing is true inside neighborhood needs, and I think that it will improve when we are not as crowded, when we're able to be with the people longer and go through the shopping experience with them.
Yeah.
That's what I pray for.
Very good. Well, let's do that right now together. Church, join us in this prayer. Father, we are overjoyed at the ways in which you provide for our every need. But this morning, Father, we're thankful for the provision that you've given through these kind people that Rich has mentioned this morning. We thank you for every volunteer, every congregation that partners with this great ministry. And Lord, we just ask that you would provide more and more as more people come to experience your love, to be fed physically, yes, but Father, we pray that they would be fed spiritually, that they would come to know you, and that they would give you glory through this great benevolent ministry. God, I pray for your blessing over Rich and for all those who lead out in these ministries. And God, we pray for relationship, as Rich just talked about. We pray for the building of relationships that would lead to the sharing of your saving gospel, the gospel of Jesus. It's in his mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Rich, very much. Appreciate it. Want to let you know as well that next week we'll begin a new series that I'm titling In Between, Living for the King. The past several years, we have celebrated the season of Advent together, and many of us live in this in-between space, in between despair and joy or hope, in between chaos and peace, in between hate and love, in between darkness and light. And we're trying to figure out in our own way, how can we be faithful as we wait? As we wait for Jesus to come again. His first advent was beautiful, and we will celebrate that together, but we await anxiously his second coming. And so as we wait in this in-between time, we're going to talk about together in this series, how can we be faithful to one another, and how can we be faithful to Jesus? So I pray that you'll be with us during this special time. It will be a great time together each week. We have some special things planned. So today we conclude a series that I have really enjoyed, and I just want to take the first few moments this morning to say thank you. Because as I was talking with some preachers this week, not every preacher can stand before their congregation and talk about some of the important, challenging topics that we have discussed in this series. And in addition, perhaps you have noticed that I've ended each of these messages with some direct challenges for us, and I hope the signs behind me remind you of those challenges. I asked us to find, first of all, a different conversation partner of a different ethnicity. And so the sign, "Where's my bike?" talks about how can we be a part of racial reconciliation? How can we bring the gospel into those relationships? And my challenge to us was be purposeful in finding someone of a different ethnicity to sit down, someone who will stick with you, someone who won't give up on you as you wrestle through trying to be Christ-like in all of your relationships. I also challenge us to invite people over to our dinner table that from your perspective, from my perspective, is of a different social class than us. And the purpose of that would be to be a gracious host, to treat them as an honored guest. And then last week, I challenged us to be creative in finding ways how we can honor and respect and love those of the opposite gender. And these challenges, I want you to know, they're not outright solutions in any way. I pray that you haven't taken these challenges as a fix-all or a solution to these big problems, these wide-spanning problems. But my deepest prayer for this series has been this, that the Spirit of God would stir within us a desire to tear down the walls that are keeping us from maturing in our faith to be all that Jesus calls us to be. And so I pray that as you humbly and as you creatively accept these challenges, that the conversations will continue. Continue at your home, continue with your brothers and sisters, maybe in your journey group or in your closest relationships one-on-one. I pray that these conversations will continue as we're formed together more and more into the likeness of Jesus. So today we're going to end by exploring the topic of individualism, which simply stated is this, it's a hyper-focus on self and rarely, if ever, on others. And this kind of worldview, this individualistic view, can be quite dangerous. And maybe the greatest phenomenon that has come from this is the culture of the ever-growing selfie, right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't, the selfie is with your smartphone. You can pull out, open up an app, and you can quickly turn the camera your way and then take a picture of yourself. Thus, the selfie, right? So I was a part of a preacher's retreat this past week, and I was with some very gifted ministers. One of them, his name is Bob, and he's just now finding out the greatness of the iPhone and all of their capabilities. He was recently at his grandson's football game. He's a senior. It was senior night, and so he was there, and they lost by a field goal in the last second, right? So he's telling us this story, and the team comes together, and they're all down, and the coach brings them together, and he says, guys, listen, we've made the playoffs. This isn't it. I know you're upset, and I know you're just down right now, discouraged. That was a tough loss, but we've got a lot more to play for, you know, pumping them up. And then they're a private Christian school, and so coach said, who's going to pray us out? Who's going to pray for our team? And Bob's grandson stood up and said, Coach, I'll do it. And Bob was like, oh, that's my grandson, you know. And so he pulls out his phone and he's going to video the prayer. He's such a proud grandpa. And he opens up his phone and he promptly takes a selfie. And by the time he figures out how to get to video and turn the camera toward his grandson had said amen and he had missed it. He said, so if you want to see my reaction to my grandson praying, I have a selfie of myself. He missed out, right? He missed out on this, what could have been this Facebook trophy, right? He could have posted this video and it would have blown up. People would have liked it. They would have commented on it. The family members would have found it and shared it. I mean, it would have had thousands of views probably, and he missed out. Well, in so many ways, we live in this grin and bear it society where the selfie is really an example of a false identity among us. Individualism is a root cause, if you think about it. It's a root cause for the other walls that we've talked about. Because when we're immensely selfish or prideful to our detriment, then these other things start to filter into our lives and these other walls begin to be created in our hearts. And so when we're obsessed with self, it can ultimately lead to pointing the finger of blame at other people. It can lead to the complete isolation of others in our lives. However, when we get the focus off of ourselves, off of our conveniences, our wants, our accomplishments, our comforts, that's when I believe we'll begin to actually see God working through us as well as God working through others in the world. So here's what I believe very simply. Jesus came to tear down the wall of individualism. As you read through the gospel stories, it is evident that when there was even a hint of selfishness or greed or pride, he would exploit it, usually by telling a story. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, join me in Luke chapter 12. And in Luke chapter 12, we find one of these stories that Jesus tells to the crowd that's gathered to listen to him. It's a story about a man that simply got wrapped up in himself. I want you to listen very carefully, starting in verse 16, Luke chapter 12. So Jesus told them this parable. the ground of a certain rich man produced a crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Many of us have read this story. Maybe you're hearing it for the first time and you're saying something like, wait a minute, let's not be too quick to judge this man. He's just trying to be ambitious here. And you're right. That's exactly right. Jesus is not condemning ambition, but misplaced priorities. This man's greed, this man's selfishness is the root of the problem. And maybe this is the life you're living now, or the dream that you have of ultimately living, making lots of money. And fortunately, many of us lean toward hoarding the money, holding tightly to our trophies. We're anxious and we're fixated on this particular status that we imagine in our minds for ourselves. And Jesus taught, and he lived, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you don't believe him, just do something generous this week, right? If you don't believe Jesus on this principle of opening up your hands and not holding tightly to the things that you've received, just practice it this week. Do something unexpectedly generous for someone else. Here's the thing. I don't know if you've noticed, but you're going to hear some of this morning. You're going to hear some of this over the next several weeks. Our church family is amazingly generous. You are generous, and I am grateful to God for that. You've heard it once this morning. You're going to hear it again here in just a minute. God has been good among us, and if you're thinking to yourself, well, I haven't been a part of that, that's okay. You can start today. Because here's the deal. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And if you don't believe Jesus on that, just give it a try. So I challenge you to do something unexpected for someone this week. Give of your money. Give of your time. Give up yourself for the betterment of someone else. And that wall of individualism will begin to come down bit by bit. You heard me read this story just moments ago, right? But I'm curious, did anything stand out to you as I was reading it? Go back. Open up your app. Keep your Bible open. Look back at verses 17 through 19. I'm going to read it a bit differently this time. See if something stands out. So he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, be merry. Did you catch it that time? According to Luke's gospel, Jesus used 11 personal pronouns in just that small text right there. This man was infatuated with himself and his stuff. He was in full acquisition mode and not relinquish mode. And so Jesus is painting this picture of individualism out of control. I mean, this man is obsessed with himself. And so his problem was not ambition. His problem was focus. His problem was focus. Where was his heart? Where was his mind, his soul, all pointed toward? And here's the toughest part of this, I believe, for us. This ism, individualism. I think this is the hardest part for us. This man's story sounds an awful like the American dream, doesn't it? It's driven by success. It's upward mobility. It's increased holdings. It's an ambitious plan. But in the end, what happens to this man? It becomes a devastating distraction to what is most important. He becomes independently greedy instead of a dependent worshiper of God. He's more focused on his mirror than on his neighbors. And I believe this is a deep-seated problem for many of us in our culture. And if it's not you, take a look around. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's a close family member or friend. And you just see the sin of greed and selfishness just deeply rooted, either in your life or someone near you. What we become dependent on is our barns, our possessions, our assets, and we're unwilling to relinquish them. There's a kingdom principle that I want to impress upon us today. It's near and dear to my heart. It challenges me every single day, but it flies in the face of our selfie society, right? It's a principle that calls us to look up from our screens. It's a principle that calls us to loosen up on the grip of our possessions. It's a principle that demands us to love God and our neighbors above ourselves. My favorite passage that embodies this principle is found in Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. I met a godly woman this week. Her name was Bev. And it was earlier this year that she became a widow. And this was right after her youngest daughter had had another miscarriage. And so as you might imagine, she's been working through an immense amount of grief, trying to just find a way to put one foot in front of the other. 11 years ago, her and her late husband decided we're going to sell our business. Their business was very lucrative. It was very successful. They decided they were going to sell that business to join their minister, Bob Russell, in retirement. And they were going to join him in this ministry of ministering to ministers. And the primary way in which they do that is once a month. They have a retreat and they bring a small group of preachers into Louisville, Kentucky, to just try to replenish their spirit. And that's where I was this past week. And I had the honor of meeting Bev, because on Monday morning, she woke up and she decided to pick up her Bible and read some from her favorite book of the New Testament, Philippians. And here's what she read. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death. Even death on a cross. And so paraphrasing Bev to the best of my remembrance, we were in a van driving back from downtown Louisville back to the retreat center. And she leaned over after she had shared some of this with me. And she said, you know, I just decided on Monday morning that I was going to come and I was going to be a servant. She said, I wanted to stay home. I wanted to isolate. I just wanted to be by myself. But I was convicted after reading this that I just needed to come and be a servant. And then she said this. She said, I figured the best way to get over death and to find life was to humble myself the way that Jesus humbled himself for all of us. So here's your challenge. If you want to destroy the wall of individualism in your life, find ways to live compassionate. Humble yourself. Become a servant who is willing to give yourself up for the betterment of others. Isn't that what Bev did for me and the seven other guys that were there this week? She humbled herself and she put our interest above her own. And I don't know of anything more beautiful than when people who love Jesus say, I'm going to live compassionate today and every day. I'm going to put others' needs and interests above my own so that they can experience Jesus. And if you'll choose to do this, if you'll choose to take this challenge, I believe here's what you'll find. I believe you'll find that as you die to selfishness, as you die to greed, as you die to your selfish pride and ambition, that you'll find yourself living out of God's blessing. And there is immense joy there. Immense joy. I don't know how Bev's doing this morning, but I'll promise you this. She experienced joy through her service, and she would not have experienced that had she not chosen to go and serve. So may God bless us as we find ways today and every day to live compassionate. Let me end with this blessing for you. To our God, who hears and sees all people, who is always for us, never against, who is always with us, never far away. And to Jesus Christ, our Savior and King, who invites us to his table of grace, who calls us to imagine the kingdom of God breaking into the world, and who commands us to love God and neighbor. And to the Spirit of God, who empowers and unleashes the people of God to live out these kingdom realities. All praises to him for his unending love and his unending mercies. To him be all glory and honor forever and ever. And the church said together, amen. Amen. May God bless you today. If you need Jesus in any way, if you need to respond to his riches and blessings, his salvation that he's provided for us, we would love to witness your confession and your baptism into him today. Or maybe you just need some encouragement this morning through prayer. We would love to minister to you in any way. I'll be available down here in the front. Some of our shepherds around the worship center are ready to receive you. Respond to the Lord now. Let's stand and sing together.